This is Manifest Mindset, where we delve into our true passions, inspire the best out of ourselves, and live our life with true intention every single day.
Welcome back. Well, another podcast episode. Me and Nick, back on Manifest Mindset. How you doing, Nick?
Bob, I'm good. Good to hear your voice again. You and I are both guilty. Well, I'll take the own guilt from my side of things of letting this go too far with too much time to pass, but you know more distance for more entertainment.
I was just thinking about how this podcast first started, how we named it. I mean, right now I just basically catch up with Bob and Nick just to see how we've been doing. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. But
wow, you're right. Absolutely.
No, I do appreciate you getting on and talking with you, just chatting. Just also just part of that documentation process of okay. These podcast recordings are going to be out there forever, and it'll be a good opportunity just in the future, 20, 30 years from now, just to listen to them, just to see where our mental space was at back when we were in our 20s.
Yeah, that's so true. Is, looking through the future rearview mirror and, seeing what things we prioritized or valued and took action on or chose not to take action on. Just the type of people we choose to surround ourselves with and opportunities we take. It'll be very interesting to see how our future selves think about our current selves now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like our diaries, but public. but no. I think was it 2018 when we started this podcast?
That sounds right, which is kind of crazy thinking back all this time.
Yeah, so it's been about 5-6 years. So we've known each other for a long time. So that's, I guess long is relative.
When did I start knowing you? Was that 2014, Bob?
2015 is when we first met.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So about 9 years. And then a fourth of my life, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So I hope we can, stay lifelong friends, Nick. And I think this podcast is kind of what's keeping us together, at least chatting. So, no, it's really nice. So, Nick, what's been new with you? Anything new?
Oh, good question, Bob. I've had a interesting series of kind of change of events and pivoting and adapting to new situations. Recently, well, I'd say within the last couple months, I actually had a time period where I thought I might be undergoing a big move and moving away from Southern California for a bit. And it turns out that wasn't in the cards for multiple reasons. So it was kind of this interesting period of this natural reset where I was going for a move to prioritize different relationships, different opportunities, kind of a fresh new start, and all the decision-making and prep that goes into doing that. And then all of a sudden for that to be halted and plans changed quickly again. So kind of everything I had uprooted in this area to make route somewhere else, I had to kind of replant, regather. So led to some interesting changes for, the basic day-to-day stuff for living situation, for job and those kind of opportunities. But just actually is, in retrospect now, it serves as a really cool and powerful, impactful reflection tool. And just kind of understanding myself through a different lens about, okay, I've got this fresh new start. What do I choose to do with that time and this opportunity?
Yeah. So I mean, you don't have to share in detail, but I guess where are you right now in terms of everything and where were you 2 months ago?
Yeah. So I'd say this is me being openly vulnerable and sharing at the same time, knowing that this is public record sounds way too much like a lawsuit and formal, right? But if we're putting it out there for the world, public record, we'll write every word and syllable down here. And like I deeply value respecting other people's privacy and their well-being throughout this, right? So basically, I was involved in a relationship, a long-distance relationship that, for in many ways, was going really well, in so many ways. And that was actually the one of the larger motivations for the move was leaving from Southern California, going up north towards Washington State. And it turned out for multiple reasons that that was not the good pathway to take, that the relationship came to an end. And that was tough. It was tough. It was challenging where I'd invested so much deep intentional time, energy, effort, getting to know someone at such a deep level, growing and maturing with them in so many ways, working on myself, kind of maybe not undoing, but redoing old habits and patterns that I had somewhere that were very helpful and productive. Some that I learned how to redefine or rework with and change the type of person, the type of man I am in a relationship, which was very powerful for me. And, you know, end of the day, for multiple reasons, the relationship didn't work out. And it was tough for me at the time. It absolutely was. And it took a lot of strength. It was challenging. And I'll say the part I was most proud of myself during this whole situation is making the right choice for the right reason and staying true and honest to myself for what I needed, and committed to myself and my growth and how I can just be so much more ready and I'm trying to think of the right word, but just that much more ready for the next right relationship for me that's different in so many ways than what than how things ended, at least, and how this last one was. So I'd be lying to you if I said that, oh yeah, 2 months ago, Bob, cool, calm, collected, piece of cake, not a problem. No, man, it was tough. And I mean, that's life in the context of life, and it sucks sometimes. And you know, emotions are beautiful and crazy and can be really, really challenging. But it's almost like, you know, testing out on the battlefield where it's like, yeah, sure, I can say I have good emotional intelligence, but what does that mean in the context of a relationship? What does that mean in the context of adversity and challenge? Both for, you know, how do I, when I look at the mirror, how do I view that person there, right? How do I view the man in the arena and what decisions I choose to make and how I choose to make them in lifetime? And so I think that there's been a ton of growth in these last couple months about how I handle myself, how I handle different situations, and deeply opening up and being vulnerable with that. Because, I mean, Bob, if you thinking about when we started this podcast in 2018, if I had a similar type of situation like this happened to me in 2018, you know, old Nick would have, or past Nick would have handled this very differently. You would have seen me not talking to as many people. You would have seen me, you know, probably being in the gym for 4 hours, just going hard with intensity to a lot of things I did, but also kind of closing down and getting rigid and hard and potentially a little bit calloused. And I think one of the things that I'm most proud about myself in these times is how I've maintained an open heart and just a deeply vulnerable perspective with myself and with people who I'm really close with.
Yeah, no, I mean, first off, Nick, I mean, I want to thank you for sharing that and just being vulnerable and then kind of being able to reflect on that, because like you said, that's a very powerful thing that you're able to do. And I mean, it goes back to our kind of the core values of why we record this podcast too, which is that growth mindset of how do we continually grow as time goes on and keeping each other accountable with that growth mindset. In addition to that, just having that, like, you fall down and then you get back up mentality. And I think that's one of the big reasons why I keep talking to you on this podcast is because that's kind of the essence or the vibe that I get from you of that, okay, you've been knocked down, Bob, how do you get back up? And that's something I see from you all the time. And it sounds like from a few years ago that's been evolving and that's kind of getting better in terms of how you're able to adapt to your circumstances. Now, I'm sure 2018, Nick, you still would have, again, I don't know the full details, and I don't know, you tell me if I'm wrong, but you still would have had a good, okay, I can pick myself up, but now it seems like you're picking yourself up, you're growing from it, you're learning from it, but also you're taking other people's, I guess you're accepting other people around you for, I guess, whatever things you need. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, Bob, I think you hit the nail on the head to a large part. Is, you know, back in the day, Nick absolutely would have, it's not like I would have given up on life by any means, right? I still would have been fighting and crying and getting back up and, you know, not falling down quite so hard and all that, those good, important things. But just there's a difference that I recognize now between am I getting back up versus how do I get back up? And what I mean by that is before I would just, you know, just get back up and have this intensity to myself and this fire and this fever and this energy, and I need to all channel it and put it into something and direct it somewhere because I would close myself off from other deeper emotional things, right? Versus now, again, maybe I'll look back 20 years from now and look back at this podcast and say, well, even then, when I thought I was being deeply open and vulnerable, I wasn't as vulnerable as I am in the future, right? But there's this openness to how I get back up, and almost like a Bruce Lee be like water mentality, where I can still be annoyed and frustrated and pissed off at situations and people who do me wrong, in a way where I feel like the way that they handle things doesn't respect who I am as a person. At the end of the day, that's their call, not mine, and I've just got to handle myself.
Sure. I mean, it sounds like
so,
you were kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bob.
Well, it sounds like you were the bigger person here in terms of you're able to take everything in, really reflect from it, and then move on. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure it still burns and still hurts. I do remember talking to you a couple months ago as well about this, and you sound like you're in a better mental space, which I'm really glad for.
And it's really funny because it doesn't hurt and burn anymore, actually.
Okay.
I think that's because I've been able to be, you know, so open to just the depths of experience of life and everything that entails, and not shying away or emotionally burying things or sweeping them under the rug for later, and reaching out for that support as I needed it just to still live a amazing, great life.
Yeah. Have you ever read the book Crucial Conversations?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Have you heard of that, Crucial Conversations?
No.
So basically the idea, I don't know who wrote it, but it's an organization now, but the idea behind Crucial Conversations, it's a conversation you either have with a loved one, an office worker, or a friend, or somebody that is filled with high emotions, and there's a lot of stakes behind it in terms of it can either make or break a relationship. And it doesn't have to be very serious, but it can just be little things throughout the day, whereas, for example, let's say me and my partner, I didn't do the dishes, that bothers her, but she doesn't talk about it. So that's considered a crucial conversation, right? That there's high stakes, there's emotions with that that's tied into that. The stakes being, okay, I'm not doing the dishes, and she's upset at that. So in that book, they talk about lag time, which is the longer you wait to have the conversation, the more the emotions and the worst outcome is going to be. So you know how well you're going to communicate with somebody based on how long lag time is between you and that the conversation you have with that person that's bothering you. So the quicker you talk about it, and the quicker you kind of really, I guess, lack for a better word, extinguish the flame, the smaller the flame's going to be, right? And then the longer you wait, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it sounds like you in the past 2 months, you were like, okay, who can I reach out to? Who's my shows? Who's the people that are important to me that I can surround myself with that help me move through this? And also, how can I reflect with myself and kind of just move past that? Which I really commend you, because 2 months it's a short time. And I think that's something to be proud of, Nick. So I commend you for that.
I appreciate that, Bob. And no, that's a good lesson that definitely applies to this situation, but to many situations too, of many different topics, of just how can we close that gap, right? How can you go from, you know, whatever that hesitation is, to get in that practice of not hesitating and just bring it up as it presents, from something small or big, significant or insignificant? Because, you know, if it's insignificant, and why wouldn't you just bring it up and talk about it? Because if you don't, then, like you said, it will become very significant at some point.
Yeah, and again, it's much easier said than done, right? And yeah, like with everything we talk about on this podcast. But okay, well, thank you for sharing, Nick. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or talk about with this scenario?
I think just no, I'm going through kind of my own reflections. But no, nothing else that jumps out at me. It's just, I think what I encourage, you know, our one listener, or, you know, 10,000 listeners,
or in that range, ourselves in the future, or our kids in the future, out of that.
Exactly. Absolutely. I think what I just encourage anybody who's listening is to handle situations in a way where you're going to feel proud of yourself for the way you made the decision with the information you had at the time, and how you can handle that in a way that honors who you are and honors what you value, and take action based on that. And like you said, Bob, kind of closing that gap and being willing to do that and have the tough conversations. I mean, I think if we can, there are these thought exercises, right, where it's like, if everybody in the world, or the majority of people in the world, were living in that way, we would live in such a different place that has far more abundance and just different community connections. But yeah, so I think just being able to make decisions in a way where you're proud of yourself regardless of the outcome.
Yeah.
Because life takes you some crazy, crazy places, and that's okay. It's part of that beautiful, amazing journey.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of life, right? All the ups and downs is what makes life so great. I mean, if it was just a constant flat line, I don't think anybody would want to really live that. I mean, that's part of why people go explore new places, people go do stuff. It's that up and down kind of emotions that make life what it is. And I guess also just to kind of add on to what you were saying of do the thing that makes you proud, I guess that's very synonymous to what will you regret if I didn't, would this lead to regret?
But from a different mentality, right? Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Is it coming out of a place from a negative connotation or a positive connotation? Because while when we're not in an emotionally charged place, those really do seem like the same. But when we're in a place where there are strong emotions, we might have to target one over the other.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good thought of, okay, how do I spin it on a more positive note as well, of the, okay, this is what's going to make my future self proud. This is what my grandkids are going to look to me and see, okay, this is the right decision, and they're going to be proud of me there. But thank you, Nick. I do appreciate you sharing that. It was I'm sure you've been going through a lot these past few months.
And it's, as I've got to say, you know, it's part of what makes me who I am is all these experiences, right? And just it keeps me from all the growth I've had in that past relationship and after it. I'm incredibly excited for what's next, whatever that may look like.
Yeah. And again, Nick, if you ever need anything from my side, just feel free to reach out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that the podcast is a way for us to connect and then really talk about just anything as well. So, I mean, I don't have the same, I guess, emotionally kind of past few months. And on a different side of, like, a similar vein, but different kind of more career-focused wise.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of struggles for me these past few months. I've been going through a fellowship. I think I told you this last on our last podcast, and it's been a really challenging year. Really challenging, I think, since I started doing in-person hours since last September. And it got to the point. So, again, I don't – forgive me if I've mentioned this to you already, but for the first – we basically had a friendship hours. The first 50 hours – are graded, and there's basically 9 different subheadings of different things of like plan of care or intervention or examination. And for the first 50 hours, and I knew this was coming, for the first 50 hours, all across the board, I got zeros and ones. So.
And what are these graded out of? What's the scale?
Out of 5. So zero is. You're complete failure. One is like, okay, I don't know what the exact terminology is, but that's kind of what it is. So,
but it's not a 3, 4, or 5.
No, I mean the expected after 50 hours is about a 2. This is standard. Everybody gets a 2. That's like, okay, you pass. Not a 0 or a 1. If you get 1, you're kind of okay. Not passing, and then if you're 0, you're definitely not passing. But I remember telling you this, that after my first week of in-person mentorship, I remember sitting at the car contemplating, wow, I don't know whether or not I should continue being a physical therapist, because that was brutal.
Wow.
And it kind of
I did not hear that part from you.
Oh, okay. Well, new information. But it was a in terms of, again, a similar vein to what, in terms of emotional, like, okay, being frustrated, being, like, having a hard time accepting it. But just like you, picking ourselves back up and figuring out, okay, how can I make this better? What do I do to get and pass that hurdle? I mean, I'm still in the midst of the fellowship, and it's just going to take a little bit longer, but there is upswing. I'll tell you that. And I think a lot of it was because I came in with the wrong mentality of as more so wanting to learn, wanting to be mentored, but it's really an aspect of being tested and how do I kind of be a better clinician. So. That is something I've been kind of working on. It triggered a remediation process that I'm currently going through with that as well. But it's a work in progress, and I'll keep you posted on that. But that's maybe a year or 2 more years of working on for that fellowship. But since I've been through this process, since I've gotten my zeros and ones, I have significantly became a much better clinician, and I have much more fulfillment in my job since I started the fellowship. So,
and Bob, what has that process? And first of all, I appreciate your vulnerability and sharing, because it can be easy to brag about our wins, but tough to admit our losses and the connotation and the situation behind them. What has that process been like from you, from going to, man, I could quit physical therapy now, to where you are at this moment?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, that was a very brief second, because it was completely not what I expected. Because it was my first, like, what, I drove, I woke up in the morning, I drove there, 5 a.m., a new clinic, completely new caseload. And the mentor, I thought, is like this super, super nice and gregarious guy. But the way he gives feedback is just very straightforward. And I wasn't expecting that either. How can I better engage with the patient? How can I show my personality a little bit more? How do I get the patient more engaged? Right? I mean, just some of the soft skills and working on that, I think has just made my day-to-day interactions much more fun. Like, I crack more jokes with my patients now. It's just more fun as a whole, and that's kind of where that fulfillment side has. I think what my current mentor has done is kind of broken me down from like the strict, okay, you got to do X, Y, and Z in this manner to be more fluid. Whereas before, like I said, it was a more rigid process of, okay, let's get X, Y, Z done. Even though I was getting the things done, now I can still do that, but also engage with the patient better, make them laugh, make them want to come back. You know? So I think that's a crucial part that I've been working on this process. And as a whole, that's helping me tremendously.
That's great, Bob. And it's it's easy and important, and not easy, but it's important to get the harder rigid, like the must haves first in a way. But then keeping that in the context of everything else and how do you make it such a smooth, fluid interaction to build up to. If you could rewind and take your current knowledge, understanding, and go back to your very last year of physical therapy school, right? When you were in that third year, maybe it was when you're out on clinical before you graduated. What advice would your current self now tell your past self then?
I guess just don't be so serious. Just have fun with it. I think that's honestly my feedback in terms of, if I were to tell myself again, like, yeah, you want to get through all the coursework, you want to know how to help a person, but also they're coming to you because they're in pain too, right? The patient's coming to you because they're in pain. How do you make this a more enjoyable process? And how do you actually make sure get their long-term goals, right? They're coming in for back pain, but how do we get them healthier? How do we get them moving better? How do we make sure that they're, okay, are they going to the primary care doctor to get their blood pressure checked, right? Are they getting their cardiovascular system checked? Are they sleeping well? Are they eating well? Like all these different, what else is out there besides, okay, if they just have back pain or shoulder pain, right? That's just one small part of the picture, but there's also all this other stuff that you can work on and then talk to the patient about and engage them with that I think is important that you can kind of understand and how it works. So that was a long-winded answer of like, okay, don't be so serious. You got all the other stuff besides their shoulder pain that you can focus on. And really, I guess we always talk about this, but getting really good at the basics in terms of doing just a really thorough, simple examination, right? Being really good at the basics in terms of, okay, what impairments could there be that we need to address? And just that communication piece. That was a long-winded answer, Nick. But hopefully
that was a great answer, Bob. And you know, in your answer from, you know, doing the basics well to not being so serious and your explanation, I also hear the answer of, you know, be willing and be able to zoom out too, not just to be zoom in the entire time on like where the tiny little details that are important, but to zoom out and see the big picture and all the components too.
Yeah, and again, there's so much more for me to learn. Right, I'm only at just the start of this, and I think the more like even both of us, we're what, 4 or 5 years out of school, as and again, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, but as we get more experience, it's just going to flow much more easier as well, and we're just going to get that, I guess, experience under our belt to better engage and better help our patients as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know, Nick. That's where I'm at with the fellowship. I think I kind of know where my weaknesses are that I really need to work on, and kind of move forward from there. So that's where I'm at from a career standpoint. But kind of in the similar vein of what we talked about earlier, of the kind of the emotional stuff as well.
But yeah, no, that's great to hear where you're at, and certainly challenges, and not always a straightforward way. What I'm really curious about with you, Bob, is when you've got this hurdle, this obstacle with the fellowship and the process, where you've got to show more grit now than you may have thought you had to before, how much of you continuing the fellowship is, I'm going to do it because I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to keep my word, versus I'm doing this because I'm still finding immense value out of this opportunity. It's still going to make me better at all the goals I set out for, because I could see elements for both factors taking place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is both factors, but the whole reason why I assume for you as well, Nick, but the whole reason I'm doing all these post-grad educational stuff is to see how can I improve, and how can I find better ways and better fulfillment to help a patient. And I think that's something that I value, of like, okay, I want to get the patient better, but also from a greed standpoint, how do I find fulfillment in helping these patients out better as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it sounds like we both had our falls. Well, I don't want to say falls. We both had some down moments, but we're both.
No, I think falls are a good word for it, right? Anytime you put such a fear or something, right? If we're talking about physical or emotional here, and we're afraid of falling, it's not a good thing, man. And so I don't think we have to vilify it more than it is. Like, we both fell down, and that's okay. You know, we stay on the ground for a certain amount of time, and then we had a different process of getting back up and, you know, reattacking life.
Yeah, and I think the cool part about this is because we've gone through this process, we're also much stronger next time around, right? We kind of know how to better maneuver it and better grow from it, and that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole episode.
Absolutely, so much better prepared.
Now, Nick, I do want to share some good news. So
I definitely want to hear it.
Okay. Recently, Julia and I, my partner and I, we went to Japan, and I proposed. She
Damn.
Said yes, so we're both engaged. We did it.
Bob, let's freaking go. Oh, my gosh, dude. I am I'm so fucking excited. Excuse my language. I'm so – dude, that's amazing. Good freaking work.
We don't have a wedding date yet, but Nick, you're definitely invited, and I do hope you can make the trip over the entire last
mass.
Oh,
it's going to be a party.
Okay.
It's going to be a party. We're going to make it happen, dude.
Yeah. So, most likely 2026. It's a work in progress, but we're both very happy, and I wanted to share that with you.
That sounds like the campaign slogan for your wedding: work in progress.
Well, that's life, right? I mean, we're both a work in progress. Everything's a work in progress.
Oh, man, Bob, I'm so happy for you. That brings me so much joy to hear. First of all, tell me more about, you know, Japan and how that trip was, and tell me about the moment, the scenario. Like, because you are such a good storyteller, and you've become so. Actually, here's a question: have you done a Toastmasters thing yet about your proposal?
I have not, no.
Okay, you should at some point. But anyways, tell me about that moment and your preparation for that moment.
Well, here's the thing. We both knew it was going to happen in Japan, right? So
okay.
It wasn't a total surprise that she got proposed to. We both knew it was going to happen in Japan, but she didn't know where, and I didn't know where. I didn't have a plan. I was like, okay, I'm just going to find the right moment and it's just going to happen. But I'm a very big points and miles kind of person. So I use credit card points in different trips. So our goal, we've been talking about going to Japan for a while, we're going to basically get our airfare and our hotel for free by using points and miles. So we flew to Japan from New York. Very lucky we got business class for just points, so free, pretty much. And our hotel stays were also on points. So pretty much travel and accommodations were based off of points and miles. So
amazing.
We go to Japan. It's fantastic. We do, what do we do? Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka, many, many different, I guess, cities in Japan. And again, I still don't know. I'm in Japan, and I still don't know where I'm going to be proposing. And believe it or not, I almost proposed, like the proposal almost went twice. So we were in Kyoto. We were in Kyoto. We were in front of this really beautiful river. The sun was shining. There was like kind of like a violin player in front of the bridge. It was this really beautiful scenic moment. And I was like, okay, this is where I want to propose. So we walked down. We're walking along this river in Kyoto, and we're both just standing looking at the river. And I have the ring in my pocket. I start getting nervous. And I start sweating. And we're just standing there looking at the river, I don't know, for 3-4 minutes straight. And I think she kind of got a sense that I was going to propose, because we were literally just looking at the river, and we were just silent.
You guys like weren't saying anything. Yeah, love it.
I was like, okay, is this going to happen? I was getting nervous. I was getting like cold feet. So I turned to her, and then she was like, well, Bob, you don't have to kneel down. That there's mud here on the floor. You can just ask me if you wanted to. And I forgot to preface this, but one of my requirements for the proposal is that it had to be a surprise. It had to be a surprise for her. She couldn't have expected it. So I turned to her, and then I was like, after she said that, I was like, In my mind, I was like, okay, never mind. I'm not doing this anymore. And we just
not doing it anymore permanently or at all. Just not in that moment.
Yeah, not in that moment. I needed a surprising moment. So
yep,
keep
I
on going.
That.
I think this is our second to last day in Japan, and we go in front of Tokyo Tower. So it's kind of like an Eiffel Tower, but in Japan. And it was early in the morning. There was this photo spot, photo opportunity in front of Tokyo Tower where you can put your phone down on the floor and there's a little stand so you can take pictures. So I set the phone down, I start taking some pictures, and then I set the camera to record. She's like, oh, Bob, you set the camera on record. It's not taking pictures. And that's when I got down on a knee and proposed. So she
Amazing.
Was shocked because she wasn't aware of that. She obviously said yes. and then she told me, you know, Bob, the biggest surprise would have been if you didn't propose that trip. So, but
yes.
It worked out. But
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you to meet her. She is fantastic. If whenever you decide to come on New York City again, I do have another room for you to stay in. But if not, the wedding.
Well, I'd love to make it happen before then, but you and I will be talking a lot more, and we're gonna make something happen here, Bob. But yeah, that wedding's gonna be one heck of a party, that's for sure.
Okay. All right, Nick. Anything else you want to add or talk about?
Bob, you're telling me about getting married in the future to the love of your life. You told me details about the proposal, and you're like, "Hey, dude, you want to try and top that?" No, I have absolutely nothing to add. That is how this episode is going to end for sure.
All right, I just wanted to share that with you just because Nick, you're close friends, so and I do appreciate you hopping on, even if it's quarterly, even if it's
we've got to change that. I've let I've let this thing slip away too much. We've got to reel this back in a little bit here.
All right, Nick. It was a pleasure.
All right. Bye, Bob.